Let's all together, please. And all come back. Come home.
That was 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
Pardon?
3 minutes.
We cut it short.
Yeah. It'll
take me 2 minutes to get them all back. Got it going here.
Must not be involved.
Mark has asked.
Oh, there is.
For a very important, comment, and Tim, at the end, you might put your 2 cents. You're putting your 2 cents worth in as well. He wants to know, I think, something in the way of leadership about what do we do? Do we cover these by user fees only? Do we take this to a vote of the population to see what they say in the way of a bond issue? Do we just go sustained rate increases to get this thing done? So it would be of interest to all of us to, number one, hear what you have to say about the projects that are right at hand that we need to really address in this next year, 2014, looking to 2015, how much money that's going to really take us and how we're going to acquire that money. And Mark isn't here yet, but...
He's not, but I also had a question before we adjourn, so
all right.
I'll wait until everybody's
done. All right, go ahead.
You want to do it now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to jump back into your submission that you gave. And you mentioned about a mechanic, how he's taking care of the public works stuff and the fire department. Is the police department is also included in that? Or
not at the time.
Not at the time. Okay,
he
so
probably
that's
probably wouldn't have the time to do. They have so many cars. I don't think he could keep up. He can't keep up now.
And he's working part-time or full-time?
He's working 29 and a half hours a week.
Okay.
Benefits.
Okay.
Our proposal is
does that consider
well 20 if you work 30 hours a week they have to become a benefited employee.
Okay, got
and
it.
So we work in literally 29 and a half hours a week and we speak everything we can get out of them.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So police is excluded from that vehicle.
He's a full-time part-time. He's a regular part-time employee.
Right, I mean for fiscal year 14.
Fiscal year 14 we're proposing it as a full-time position.
Okay, then my last question is this. You know, you were talking about the condition of our systems, both water and wastewater. And so my question is very simple. If a big company were to come in board into Newport, a manufacturing company, either to be located north of town or south of town, and absorb something around like 10 acres, and we're talking maybe, you know, 50 to 100 people employing them there, is our infrastructure intact where you could supply that?
Again, it depends on what part of town you're talking about.
Well,
so in south,
go to extreme north and extreme south. Like there's some property out by the airport.
You couldn't sustain it anywhere north of town.
Okay. How about south of town?
South of town, you could. And the only reason we can do that is because we just finished the project that we're working on right now to extend water and sewer to that area.
Okay. So, but there's no water and sewer to the airport yet because that's facilitated by Seal Rock, right? Or
funny you should mention that. I had a conversation with our engineer today. And Seal Rock Water District is in the process of constructing a project to extend, upsize the water service between their system and ours, which would include a booster station and extending the water service down to the airport. To cooperate with that, I told them I wanted to own this system, everything north of the airport, so that our airport would then be on the Newport's water system. To my understanding, they have FEMA funding for that, and they may even construct that yet this year. And they will extend it all the way back up to 62nd Street, I believe, where we've extended the 12-inch water line. And then it will have water capacity to the airport then for development. But we don't have wastewater capacity.
That's what I was asking.
There's no wastewater there. And that was really the thing that was hard for the Selma Gear Museum, is the development costs for the airport were too high for them to sustain on their own.
Okay, so that was my question. If somebody were to come out south of town, because there's some pretty good pieces of property there that could technically handle a big manufacturing company, So could you supply them the infrastructure right now, today, if they were to come into your office and say, hey, you know, we're going to build a plant out there, it's going to be 50 to 100 people, what kind of infrastructure can you provide to us?
I would say anything between 40th and 50th Street and anywhere around the South Beach Marine Research area, we can. So basically, really, anything from the bay down to 50th Street, we can handle, no problems.
But south of that, you cannot?
South of that, we can't, because we have no sewer capacity.
What's the timeline you're looking at?
We don't. I mean, we don't expand our system for the sake of expanding our system. We don't have the money to expand for economic development.
So it's not on the radar?
No.
Okay, that's it, that's my only question.
Thank you once again, Mark, you're back again, and I just wanted to reiterate the fact that we may, it's important that we get some type of guidance tonight on whether we go totally user fees or whether we think about taking it to the vote of the, to the public or rate increases, correct, John? That's what we want. Okay, we're going back to projects now. All right, one.
It is a very short one. When I was taking a tour of the city as a counselor and up at the shops, there is a water tank called the bathtub.
The city shop tanks.
Yeah, city shop. How old is that? I mean,
one tank was built in 1903 and the other's in 1904 and they're still in service.
And the building over it is...
Oh, I don't know when they put the roof over it. That's just to keep the birds out of it, really.
Okay.
But they were the reservoirs were originally the first reservoirs to be poured, 1903, 1904, respectively. So they're still in operation.
And it's still, and nothing really has been changed since.
No, but we can't do without them, so.
Thank you.
Can I ask Tim to elaborate a little bit on a grant that we're looking at? Because the grant source don't have to start paying back until the end of the project. So it could be the decision of how it gets paid back doesn't have to be made today, right now, this year. And so once you're elaborated, and I think after he explains it, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Okay, you're on, Tim.
Okay, I'm going to start a little backwards. Did anybody get a copy of this part of this?
Yes.
So
one,
I got
118 and 120.
Just one size. I never work in that size because it's 208 and I'm not that old. So
this is what it's for.
Yep, you can't find the last hour.
It's teenier, but we got it.
Well, what you have in front of you, and hopefully it's in color to make it a little bit easier, is our what we call our capital improvement plan. And what it does is that it identifies some projects that we're proposing to work on this coming fiscal year, or projects that we're planning on putting money aside for during this fiscal year, even though we may not begin construction. The way that the city is structured in terms of funds, because the enterprise funds can't have money moving out of them, so I can't transfer money out of the water fund and put it somewhere else to spend on a project that has to reside in the enterprise fund. We have a fund or a cost center called the Water Capital Projects. You'll see that in the water fund. There's a wastewater capital projects, and then there's what we call capital projects. And that's everything else, the bulk of what you see in this sheet. The first two columns in this sheet, when you look at the funding sources, are water capital and wastewater capital. Those are the only two that are not inclusive in all overall capital projects. The project that Jim was referring to is the Agate Beach Wastewater Improvements. The writing is on the wall that the project is too large to start and do with rate increases as quickly as we need to do the project. I mean, ultimately, the project needs to be paid for in some fashion. And so we started pursuing, and I'll give you a little bit of history. Originally, when the project started, the city was pursuing USDA funding as a grant. Unfortunately, the city now has 10,150 people, which makes us ineligible for grant funding for small communities any longer. And the red tape associated with the USDA funding was so expensive that we dropped it. Instead, we started pursuing what they call the Clean Water State Revolving Loan Fund. And that is a very low interest rate fund, low interest rate loan, somewhere between 0.8 and 1.5%, we estimate, based on the terms of the loan that we end up having. It's a revenue loan, so we have to pay it back with our rates, and they basically guarantee that we can do that. The nice thing about that particular loan project is the Department of Environmental Quality is the the agency that loan is through. They're very, 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 I can't put enough berries on it, interested in seeing us do the, these wastewater system improvements. And so I've been told by the Department of Environmental Quality that our loan application is pretty much a lock. And so it's just a matter of when we get the money and how much we borrow. To my understanding, the loan is a reimbursable loan type of a scenario, where we spend the money and then we submit our receipts and they pay us, and we basically take the loan in hunks. They don't just take it and deposit it in your account. The best part about the loan, and this is even better than the rates, is that we don't have to pay it back until the project is complete. And our project is the entire Agate Beach wastewater improvements will likely take us 6 years. So we have free money for 6 years. That's a really great loan program, and it's designed specifically for people like us who have really big projects and don't have the funds to do it right out of the gate, so we can have a little cash flow. Our grant consultant has really pretty much got us to this point. They've more than paid their way, what we paid for them, getting us lined up to do this for this particular project. Before I go over that question, we're also looking at doing another project with the loan. It's the non-point side of the loan, and that's the stormwater improvements down on the Bay Road. Those of you who are familiar with how that started, the Embarcadero was experiencing sinkholes in their parking lot associated with the storm drainage system coming from the city. And we tried repairing that a number of times, and it bent down on us that that whole stormwater system is collapsing under its own weight. And so as we did a further investigative study, we really need to do some storm sewer replacements at the intersection of Southeast Moore Drive and Bay Road, and at Fogarty and Bay Road, and even up Fogarty and up 4th Street to some extent. The sources for funding stormwater projects are not great. Basically, it's our infrastructure fee. That's our golden goose, if you will. That infrastructure fee can be used on any sort of an infrastructure improvement, and it really gives us the ability to start on design on a project like that, and then dedicate some of that infrastructure fee for paying down that loan over the long term. So it helped us to do a large stormwater project that we otherwise have no sort of funding source to fund other than the infrastructure fee.
I just want to, I'm clarifying which one are the Agate Beach projects you're talking about, because there's several in our nice color-coded one. So okay. Agate Beach Sanitary Sewer.
Yeah, I apologize for this, because this is set up for my purposes, not anybody else's purposes. And I'll explain to you how this particular spreadsheet is set up, and then I'll get into which project that is.
It's the recreation and waste site improvements?
There's three projects on here that are part of the Agate Beach system. We have a project, it's called Agate Beach Wastewater System, and that project is kind of a very small funded project that helps us to do the grant allocation and the overall geotechnical work that covers the whole project, not just a certain piece of it. We've broken the Agate Beach wastewater improvements up into five or six pieces. The first piece of which is the Big Creek lift station improvement, or the Big Creek lift station force main improvements, which you'll see on here. It's the second from the bottom green line. That's the first thing that needs to be done, because you can't build a lift station unless you have something to pump it into. So that's a project that is almost completed design, and we'd like to start this fiscal year as soon as we get the funding. The next project in that scenario is the Big Creek lift station itself, which is a very, very large lift station. 3.2 million gallons a day will go through that station. And the design on that has not even really begun, because we kind of got into a budget crunch here, and we wanted to ensure that we had financing available to begin the design. If the budget gets approved, we'll start design on that project on July 1. They'll begin the design process and do that over the summertime. When the force main is completed, then they'll have that all ready to go, and they'll start filling the lift station, which will tie into that force main immediately. So that's the Agate Beach wastewater improvements. And what you'll see is over the next 5 years, I have the spreadsheet. I have 5 years of the spreadsheet that you don't see. I always plan out 5 years ahead, because you got to spread out those phases of those projects and understand what those costs are going to be. And you'll see the next phase. The next one will end up being the 48th Street force main and gravity sewer improvements, then the 48th Street pump station. And I just keep moving my way north. You got to do the furthest one south first, but everything else goes into it. And that's why we picked Big Creek first. It's the worst and the one furthest to the south. The way this spreadsheet is set up is at the top of the sheet are all my funding sources, beginning with wastewater capital projects all the way out to the Oregon Scenic Byways grant. On the left are the different projects, and I break them down into different categories for our own benefit. This helps me to calculate what I estimate my project costs are going to be. That's the first column. It shows what I spent in previous fiscal years, and then I can move that forward and understand what I have at the beginning fund balance for any one particular project. Then I take a look at what my proposed revenue sources are going to be this year, And because I have these three funds that my projects come out of, water capital, wastewater capital, and capital projects, I have a percentage breakdown. So when I build a project, I know where it could build to on a percentage level for funding sources. Because the most complicated part of this, and this is the part that David and I always battle on, most of these funds, funding sources, can only be spent on very specific things. Water can only be spent on water projects, wastewater and wastewater projects. The 2012 fund exchange money, where we do most of our overlays, can only be spent on street improvements. So even though it gets dropped into capital projects, I track exactly how many pennies that project costs. And when I'm done with that, those funds get transferred back into the parent fund that they came from. Room tax, we transferred money back to this year. SDCs are project specific. We transferred SDCs back to the SDC fund this year. Project monies that we didn't spend go back to their parent fund. We track them all individually. And that's where the spreadsheet is necessary. I need to know exactly how much I spent on every single project and where the funding sources were. So when the job is done, and I know it was funded 25% this fund, 25% this fund, and 50% that fund, whatever's left gets transferred back in that same proportion back to the parent funds. So there's the spreadsheet, 1, 2, 3. I can go through some of the projects that we're looking at this year. We prioritize them, and I'm gonna actually start from the bottom, which is where my water is, and move up instead of going up and moving down. We thought we had more money to be able to spend than we did. We had an error in our beginning fund balances last fiscal year. This year we realized we didn't spend that money. We realized we didn't have as much money to go on as we originally thought we would have for this coming fiscal year, so we kind of split the projects into phases, and you'll see that. There's some things on here that don't have funding to them, but one of the most important projects we have on the water side is the Lakewood Hill Pump Station. Lakeville pump station is running on one pump right now. Can't provide any fire protection for any of that neighborhood at all. The power goes out, they're out of water. I mean, that's the scenario. That pump station was built in the 50s. It was moved from somewhere else to that location in the 70s, and it's been running like that ever since. And so it's literally running on its last leg, and if we don't do it this year, last year it failed twice. And I'm afraid we won't be able to get it going again. The Lower Big Creek Reservoir drawdown repair, that's a pipe repair project in the lower dam. Pipe that was put in 1950s, corrugated metal. It's completely rotted through.
Corrugated metal.
Corrugated metal pipe put in when the dam was originally constructed in the late 50s. When we were working on the intake station, we realized how bad a condition that particular pipe was. If I had to list one particular infrastructure issue that's probably the most critical in Newport, it's that one. That pipe could literally fail at any second and drain your entire reservoir and you'd have no drinking water. And so we recently left the project. Clackamas Construction will be doing that work. We're gonna line that pipe with a new HDPE liner and new gate and essentially seal the outside of the liner and the inside of the corrugated metal with grout, and then it will basically prevent imminent disaster, I guess is the best way to put it. This is one of those things that needs to be replaced. It's not a hugely expensive project. It'll go to council for a notice of intent to award. I think it's $10,000 under budget. Total project value ended up being like $118,000. The Lower Aiken Beach Tank and Salmon Run Pump Station relocation. That's the tank up at Northeast 71st Street. Last winter, the Salmon Run Pump Station slid down the hill. And we lost the ability to provide water to that entire neighborhood. The senior center at the top of the hill was out of water for over a week. And that was a bad scenario. That was a really bad scenario. We were able to go in and fix all the pipes, pull all the joints apart all the way up the hill, all the fittings, everything. And so we realized that not just the tank, we also needed to replace that whole pressure system. And that pump station is not all that old. It was just built in a really lousy location. Down in a slide area, you can see they have houses, foundations for houses around there, and none of the houses are built there because the whole area slides. But we built our pump station down there for whatever reason. And so that project includes extending a 12-inch water line up Highway 101 from essentially where the movie theater is, up 71st Street. There's some 12-inch line that was installed when that neighborhood was developed on 71st Street, and then we need to extend the 12-inch water line all the way out to where the tank will be. That's all we can afford to do this year from the water line extension. Because we wouldn't be able to feed the tank without it. So, you know, phase one. Phase two would be actually constructing the tank, which would need to take place next year or when we have the funding to be able to do it. And then phase three would actually be replacing the pump station itself. So that's this project. If you take a look at that, it's going to be about $2.5 million for the whole thing. We have some funding in place right now. I believe it's in excess of what it will take us to actually run the water line. But whatever's left, then we will just roll forward to the next year, moving to the next phase of the project. Big Creek Dam Assessment, that's the next project you see there. I know you've heard a lot about that. I think it's really very important for us to proceed with that. The problem with that particular project is all it's going to do is tell us how much it's going to cost and when we need to do it and what we need to do. But without that information, we have no way of planning for what the real cost of that's going to be. You want a geo project? That's the one, because I'm betting it's going to be several tens of millions of dollars to do what we need to do to get those reservoirs to the state that they need to be in to operate for the long term. That's why I'm really very hesitant to do anything right now, because I think in a couple of years, we're going to be looking at some really big geo bonds that we're going to want to go after. And I don't want to waste it, you know what I mean? Waste that public opinion.
Jim? That is the one project that I've had people call me on and said, damn study. And pretty much to a person, they have issues with it. And mainly it's because, what are we going to do when we get the information? What are we going to do with the information? What use is to it? Is it of, can't speak English anymore, sorry about that. But what value is it to us today? And is it really going to provide anything we don't already know from the initial study and the studies that were done a few years back? So they, you know, let's don't do it. So the question is, if we don't do it, we push it off for 3 or 4 years, what happens?
You push it off for 3 or 4 years. It's roll the dice. I mean, literally, that's what it is. Roll the dice. You bet on the fact that you want to have a problem in the future. I mean, well, the risk that the council has to decide is that.
Well, I mean, the issue is if they do tell us we have to rebuild the whole thing or something, there's nothing we can do about it anyway.
Well, this is the thing, it's the first report, but we already know that we have to do something. There's absolutely no question at all. It's just what do we do and how much it's going to cost. That's what this does. It's a feasibility report. It gets you that preliminary information that you need for design. You narrow down where you can do it, where you can't, and what it would cost, and what your preferred options are. So then you say, okay, my preferred option is remediating the upper dam. We need to literally take it out of commission. We need to do some soil mitigation under it. We need to raise it 15 feet. We can do that for $8.5 million. That's what that gives you. And without that information, you don't go anywhere. You're literally dead in the water at this point. All we know is the dams are bad. We know they're really bad. And if you'd like, I can bring in Oregon Dam Safety. He will say, you guys are insane if you don't move forward. That's what he's going to say exactly. And it's a challenge. You know, I would much rather be able to spend money on infrastructure we know doesn't work right now. Fortunately, if this one stopped working, all the rest of our infrastructure is a hill of beans because I don't have any water to put it in anymore.
Do we actually have a citation from Oregon Dam Safety saying that our dams are?
Yes.
I was told by one person that he did not.
Oh, that's not true at all. We've been working with Keith Mills from Oregon Dam Safety through this whole process. He made comments and recommendations on the dam assessment. And in fact, I think he even wrote a portion of it. And he used it as a presentation at one of the dam safety seminars. So they're well on board with what's going on here. And I also think it's very necessary to do this work because it gets us to a position where we know generally what our costs are going to be, what our resolutions to the problem are going to be, and stages us to a point where we can go after some other funding. This is one of those projects where I'm not sure what we can do in terms of funding. There might be all kinds of opportunities out there for grant funding for a water improvement like this. I mean, you think about this. This is FEMA classic for prevention, damage prevention. That's how they're doing that cross connection and Seal Rock Water District is FEMA's paying for that completely because it prevents them from being out of water in the case of a natural disaster. That's what this is. This is, imagine what your community would be like, 10,000 people plus 30,000 in the summer, no water, earthquake, can't get in, can't get out, bad, and they want to prevent that from happening. And so without the information, we have nothing. All we know is that they're not good and we don't know what we do to correct it. And that's what this phase is, doing a little bit further geotechnical analysis. That analysis is used then in the design process. This is really a preliminary engineering. Okay, here's the things that work, here's the things that don't, here's what it's gonna cost, here's what you can expect in terms of time frames. You know, the lower dam is good, the lower dam is bad, the upper dam is good, the upper dam is bad. Gives you that idea. We'll very likely need to run our intake to the upper dam. I think it's very unlikely we can do anything to remediate the lower dam. And so then that process and that cost will be built into that, what it would take to do that. And then we would very actively pursue grant funding for that project. That one specifically, the one that I was actually looking at our consultants for, our grant consultant for, specifically for funding that. And see, it's well on our radar screen. And if they want to, man, I can pour them through that 350-page report that we got. It's wild geotechnical data. And I can bring Keith Mill down to talk to council about this particular structures and what their goals are and what opportunities might exist. But city of Astoria is going through the same thing right now. They just started an assessment on their dam, concrete dam. And it's just that every community along the coast falls into this category in one shape or another because it's all built into estuary soils. But we have pulled aside a few dollars to buy equipment and materials, but my materials for the Northwest 3rd Street water system is an old 4-inch AC line that we want to upgrade for additional capacity. It's very likely our own crews will do that work, and this $14,000 will arrive all the way for it. What do I have here? $20,000. That will pay for our materials primarily. We'll use the equipment, our own equipment and manpower to do that. I'll burn up way more than that just in asphalt patching. So if some of my other projects come in under, and I know that this Big Creek Lower pipe drawdown repair, I have $135,000 in here, we bid it for $118,000. Whatever I save on that project, I'll roll into this third street project so we can get that water line replaced. We have a couple SCADA projects in-house that I have in here in my spreadsheet. These two red projects on the bottom, they're SCADA projects that we did a joint venture with Coastcom last year, and we owe them that money. They extended fiber on behalf of the city to tie our different pump stations together so we can monitor them. Right now, our guys drive to every single one. We have a truck budgeted and wastewater collections to replace, I think it's a 1998 Toyota that's got the wheels just driven off of it because they go to every pump station every day with it. And this will help us to tie our different pump stations in. The third project, well, really the first line, this OSC pump station, South Beach water tank. When we lost the Bay Crossing a couple years back, we couldn't fill the tank in South Beach. The way that system is designed, that tank was built probably 20 years early to meet the water system demand to South Beach. It doesn't pull that much water. And so there's a 12-inch line that crosses the bay. It splits into a 3-inch and a 10-inch line. And the 3-inch line handles the day-to-day water usage, so they have good water quality. 10-inch line is only supposed to open when there is a fire or to feed the tank, but right now there's such low demand in South Beach that the 10-inch never opens and only the 3-inch is open and it just hums, but it's not enough to fill the tank. And what I mean by that is it robs so much pressure by the time it gets there, the tank has maybe 10 feet of elevation in it. So the SCADA project is really to build our SCADA platform for being able to observe all of our pump stations, lift stations. We have a program that was designed as part of this. And then we have a level transducer in the tank that will open and shut the valve to allow the tank to open to fill, and the valve shuts off and the South Beach water system will operate off of that tank. It's important that we do that because right now we have too many chlorine residuals building up in that tank, which are carcinogenic because we can't get the tank to turn over. But I think it was a project of opportunity. They had the money to build the tank, so the city built the tank. But the problem is that if you build it too soon, you can't get it to work right, and that's exactly what's going on at the South Beach Tank. I would love a commercial development down there, and I would actually love to see the airport tied into the water system because it would increase the usage in the South Beach area and get that tank to work the way that it's supposed to. Orange projects are primarily stormwater-related projects. Again, going up the sheet, Southeast 4B to John Moore Drive outfall, that's the project I mentioned down on Bay Road. We are anticipating about $180,000 of SDCs from the Tevin Brothers project to help start the design of this project. We have about $30,000 in street SDCs to do the intersection with Southeast Moore and Bay Road. The rest of this will come from the Clean Water State Revolving Loan that we're hoping for. Infrastructure mapping program is pretty much done. This is a leftover project from last year. There's a few more things that they need to do on that. What that project was is we mapped all of the city's infrastructure. All the old maps that we have are all hand-drawn, and we didn't have any data on the wastewater system in South Beach at all. And so our consultant went out with a GPS unit. We hired a temporary guy for $10 an hour, and he went around and he used the GPS unit and shot every structure in town, every single bloody one. And so we have a map that will be forwarded to our office this week. Actually, I got the GPS unit on my desk today from the consultant. They're done with their mapping exercise. And that map will form the foundation of our new utilities map. It allows us to do utility locates. It allows us to do planning. It's built into a GPS system, into a GIS system. So I can get elevation information, I can get condition information, and I can have that visually. So I'll be able to say, these are the system areas where I have issues with capacity. Here are the areas where I have issues with condition. It helps me to do modeling for both the wastewater system master plan. I can literally go and type in a coordinate, walk out in the middle of the night with a GPS unit and find a valve in the middle of the field, which is really, really nice when it's 2:30 in the morning and there's water boiling up in somebody's front yard, which we've experienced, and it helps us to be more accurate with our infrastructure. That was funded through GP franchise fee last year. Northwest 6th Street Storm Sewer, that's a project that we're funding primarily with the infrastructure fee. Storm Sewer on 6th Street is collapsing. You go out there when it's raining, you can see it boiling through the street. And the project is to replace the storm sewer from Nye Street to High Street and do some curb extensions so next year we can overlay the street, which also desperately needs to be overlaid. But we got to do the storm sewer before we overlay it. 7th and Isla storm drain repair. I don't know if you recall last year, there's a picture of me standing in a gigantic sinkhole. That's what that is. What happened was there's a storm drain that extends out by the middle school there, just by Patrick's house. And it's the city's yard, and they've been dumping material there for 50 years, extending the conduit culvert out over and over again. But what ended up happening was there was a landslide in 2012, way down the ravine at the end of 9th Street that covered over the end of the culvert. The culvert backed up and blasted through the ground and formed a gigantic sinkhole. Well, then the water started coming up through the sinkhole, and the sinkhole washed all the fill that was on top of the storm drain pipe away, which was all sand. Washed all the sand all the way down into Jeffries Creek. So if you walk around the pool and down the trail that comes up and up the hill where the water tanks are, look out into the wetland and all you see is sand, 3 feet deep. 3 feet of sand had moved down into that ravine from that storm drain failure. It's still boiling out of the ground. And so that's a project that will be primarily funded through FEMA, 25% matched by the city. Ted is in the process of designing that right now, and hopefully we'll build that this summer, and it will end up relining storm drain. Sorry, I'm sure it's going to end up going right down your driveway and cutting off to the side because the pipe is 40 feet in the ground and we can't get to it. It has so much fill over it at this point that it's unreachable. We've tried to fix it. We had the biggest excavator I could find, and we were down as steep as it would go, and we still couldn't reach it. And there's so much water running out of the ground right now, it's just unfixable. It actually captures a creek that comes through the county fairgrounds and goes into the storm drain pipe. It's a creek. It's a tributary to Jeffries Creek. And at this point, we can't fix it. We cannot get to it. And so the alternative is to go into a place where we can get on top of it, put a new storm drain manhole in, and reroute it. And that's what that project is. There's a line in here for our strategic grant consulting services. We have a retainer for their services. If they have specific project needs, we'll bill their time to a specific project. If they have a specific task order associated, say, with the Aga Beach wastewater improvements or south of John Moore Drive, the rest of their services are finding grant dollars for other things. We're looking at park projects. We're looking at really anything that we can partner on corporations with. And they spent so much time on their SRF funding in the last few months that we really haven't gotten anything else, but they're starting to shift gears now. And we actually have a one-stop meeting scheduled with the Infrastructure Financing Authority, which may help us to provide the matching funds for some of these projects and or fund projects that have potential for economic development. Northeast 71st Street Tank is definitely has economic development opportunity because we can develop the Lawson property. The Aga Beach properties, you can't develop anything north of Walmart, definitely has economic development opportunity. So we're really optimistic that we'll be able to see some additional funding through that those opportunities. The next project up is the Aga Beach Recreation and Wayside Improvements. This is one of those projects that we're not doing any work on this year, but are simply creating the project and holding aside money for that project for next year. We received an Oregon Scenic Byways grant of almost $600,000, $557,000 for that project. And we've been hauling away money for a number of years for the stormwater improvements associated with that and some of the street improvements associated with that. And so when that project award comes along, we'll get into the design phase and improve that. That's up at 56th Street where Raleigh's is there. Raleigh's, right? There's that little parking lot. They'll be building a bathroom facility in there with showers and improving the parking and extending the road because there's so many surfers that park up in there. Moving on up, Big Creek Wastewater Lift Station replacement. We talked about that. We talked about the lift station force main and the Aga Beach Sanitary Sewer is kind of the overarching project. The administrative type of role within that. The smoke testing program. This is a project, if you take a look, has no funding at this point. The reason I show it in there and the reason it doesn't have funding is one of those projects we're trying to acquire grant funds for and or request some funding from the GP franchise agreement again. Smoke testing program is trying to identify those locations where our sanitary sewer and our storm sewer are connected together. 40 years ago, they were all together. In 1955, they put in a sanitary sewer project where they tried to split the two off. They didn't get everything. That's pretty obvious if you take a look at the fecal reading down in my beach. And we've slowly been picking those off. We're finding services that are connected to it. We found failing services. We found cross connections where the storm drain went into the sanitary sewer and vice versa. We probably picked a dozen of them in the last 2 years, but there's more. It's obviously there's more. And so the purpose of that program is to go out and start very systematically and painfully, street by street, now that we have our infrastructure map so we know where everything is, start going through and figuring out where in the heck all this stuff is and take care of it. The next project is the sanitary sewer televising program. I'm going to talk about that with the wastewater system master plan. There's a lot of infrastructure in our city that we don't have a very good handle on our condition on, the wastewater system pipes. Our crews don't have the time to be able to televise it all on their own. And so my last city, we had a similar program where we televised, say, 1/7 of your overall wastewater system 1 year, and then you do maybe another 1/7 the next year, and by every, you know, 7 years, you got the whole bloody thing. As part of that process, there's what they call a NASCO rating system, where you can rate the condition of that particular sewer line. And a certain stretch of it, and then you can populate that data in your GIS map, and you can visually see where your sewer conditions are across the town, so then you can prioritize your projects. Because the most cost-effective project is the one where I know I have hydraulic issues, I know I have structural issues, in wastewater, I also know that I need to upgrade my water line there, and I have a storm sewer issue, and the street needs to be overlaid, and I do the whole bloody thing at once. That's what we're trying to get to, instead of fixing a water line here, and a sewer line there, and a street there, digging them all up one after the other. Not cost effective. That is part of this wastewater system master plan. A wastewater system master plan, the purpose of that is to help you prioritize projects, help you identify what those costs are going to be, help you to incorporate condition data into that, and then you can use the data that you get out of that wastewater system master plan because, you know, the Bridgeview development wants to develop in the northeast side of town, and they want to tie their sewer line into the sewer on 7th Street. And I can say, I'm sorry, Bridgeview, we do not have a system capacity there. My wastewater system master plan is telling me you have 50 more units than I can handle right now. And so it limits their development by 50 units, or they upgrade your system for you, or they go away. That's another really big component of that wastewater system master plan, because I cannot tell you that. If somebody wanted to come in and develop a tie into any particular system other than the Aga Beach wastewater system, which we did this on, couldn't tell you. Capacity is in most of these systems. Wayfinding sign project, a job that will never die. We have $10,000 hold away in there to do some mapping upgrade that came out of, I believe, room tax. South Beach tsunami improvements, we hold money away in that a couple years back from South Beach Urban Renewal. We have a grant through FEMA to be able to do that project. And I would expect we're doing the first phase of that right now. It's cost-benefit analysis, you know, what the value of somebody who's dead is, literally, that's what they're doing. And it's to justify the project. And then after we do that, we go into preliminary design. And I would think that probably next year we would do the improvements associated with that. The Ash Street design and construction, the projects have been bid, awarded. They will begin construction on that a couple, 3 weeks from now. Gas company's moving a gas line. They're going to finish that stretch between 50th Street and Ferry Slip Road, all new street section, 10-foot multi-use path, street lighting, and a new storm sewer system. Funded primarily through South Beach Urban Renewal. Also, the tsunami evacuation route for the college goes through there. Hick Creek landslide repairs finally is going. We're getting a slight extension on that because I think our construction window is going to overlap when it's supposed to be completed. But we will be bidding that project within a month and moving forward. Highway 101 pedestrian crossings, if you've seen the surveyor out in the streets, that's what they're doing. They're surveying for that. That is also being funded through Oregon Flexible Funds Grant. And we expect that we'll start that construction sometime this fall. The next two projects, Southwest 30th Street improvements and the Southwest Abalone Street improvements, are associated with the OMSI development in South Beach. There's some adjacent improvements that are necessary for that development. Abalone on the east side, 30th Street on the north side. They're funding a good portion of the improvements. The rest of the improvements are funded through South Beach Urban Renewal. I think there's some SBCs that may go to that a little bit as well. I think it's just South Beach Urban Renewal. The Kenzie Ridge Sidewalks, that's a development project that we hold aside money for the development on Northeast 71st Street. There's some sidewalk improvements that need to be completed in there. Developer put money aside for that. We have to implement the project, so we'll just hire somebody and go out and finish the sidewalks there, completely paid for by the developer. And then the next two projects are our standard overlay and pedestrian improvement projects, funded primarily through the Newport gas tax, state fund exchange money, and the state gas tax. The state gas tax primarily funds street operations. A certain portion of that needs to be dedicated for pedestrian and bicycle improvements. So we usually pull aside $15,000, put it in the capital improvement fund, and we go and do sidewalk improvements. So last year we did a bunch of stuff down in the Bayfront with that. This year we're taking a look at doing some improvements along 9th Street by the ballpark and on 3rd Street right by the high school there where everybody's walking out into the street. And combining that with our overlay, because that street we will then overlay after we finish that sidewalk. On our overlay plan this year, I have a number of streets that just need overlays, but we're also planning to pave Benton between 8th and 10th and finish that stretch in there that's uncompleted. Because that is, I think, a minor arterial. We're going by classification with how we overlay.
Hey, Tim, on that OMSI, Abalone Street 30th, there was something in the budget, I can't remember where it was, $400,000 of funding for OMSI equipment under streets, I thought it was. Maybe somebody else remembers where they saw that.
That project is funded $496,000 through an LID project, which is a local improvement district by OMSI. That's their contribution. There's another $422,894 dedicated to that from South Beach Urban Renewal, which was the project identified.
So that $400,000 is their contribution, is exclusive of the work you've done in your budget.
Yeah.
It appears at the outset, listening to all of this, that we need a public relations firm here to make a point for us. We have a real concern with the population about the rate increases. They don't really understand what's going on. Yet you sit here and identify so many wonderfully helpful fundings that we have, so many fundings that are coming. Maybe we're not doing the best job we can to identify the fact that this is what you need to run the water and sewer system in this town. And these are the funds that we're already receiving from these sources. However, we have a shortfall of this amount of dollars. So the question is, coming back to Mark, how are we going to fund that shortfall? Is it going to go to totally user-based? Is it going to go to a bond, et cetera? What do you think about that, Tim? Because the perception, you get the calls every day. You know, you're the guy that's raising the rates.
I'm beginning to realize that I need to do a better education campaign within the community because, as an example, I gave a tour of the water plant a month ago to a homeschool group. And the moms in this homeschool group have lived in Newport their whole lives and never once had any idea where their water came from. And to me, that's a failure on the part of the Public Works Department to communicate exactly what is going on within our community. Actually, went to an AWWA conference this last week and decided that we need to start a Facebook page from Public Works to talk about the projects that we have. And I actually need to probably kind of go on the speaking tour, if you will, and start hitting the schools and start hitting different locations so people understand how their infrastructure works. Honestly, I'm going to tell you right out, at some point those rates need to go up. Whether we do it now or we do it 10 years from now, they're going to go up, guaranteed. I think that people will have a lot less angst about that when they realize where those funds are going and what they're doing in their community. It's not easy. You know, for example, my cell phone bill is $150 a month. My electric bill is $140 a month. My water bill is $94 a month. That's wrong. I have four kids, and I have four people in my household. I use 5,000-6,000 gallons, 7,000 gallons, something like that. It's the value, it's what the actual cost of your infrastructure is. And if people begin to understand where their dollars are going, what they're being used for, how they get their water, how it gets treated, how it gets disposed of, the projects that we have in the books and the reason for them, I think that they would not have as much angst about their utility rates going up because they don't know. The biggest thing is they don't know. And I'm not great at that. I'm a fixer, not a campaigner. And I don't quite know how to deal with that part of it.
Well, it may be that we might need some help in that area. You know, to go back when you tell the people, hey, don't forget, we didn't have raises for X number of years. I see very few people remember that. I don't want to go back and fault those city councils, but I'd like to get all their names up on the wall and start one by one and go after each one of them because, I mean, this is ridiculous that we don't have that type of situation. But we are left holding the bag, and we're going to do something positive about holding the bag. Norm, Mark's concept was correct, though. We need some direction as to, you know, what we need to do. What kind of a shortfall do we have, and where do we need to go? Do we have enough money in the coffer right now to do the things to sustain us to 2014? And will the money being brought in by these rate increases in 2014 be enough to carry us into 2015? Is our five-year plan working? Is it really going to do the job for us? Is it going to take us over the hill? Or are we ready to start thinking about another five-year plan because we're already 3 years into that one?
I mean, Tim has answered most of those things. You just said.
I deal with what I have to deal with. If the council decides that they don't want to do rate increases, I have a certain amount of money available for capital projects, and those are the capital projects we do, and that's it. And we went along. There's somebody that came to the council meeting and said, I want to teach you how to use duct tape and JB Weld. Because you had absolutely no idea. We've been doing that for 40 years. You know, these guys are amazing what they can hold together.
Right.
Unbelievably amazing what they can hold together. I mean, our public works group is the top notch. I'm telling you now, they're wearing out. And honestly, they're getting old. I mean, my median age in my public works group is probably 55. And I'm losing all that intellectual knowledge in a hurry. That's one of the reasons I did the infrastructure mapping when I did. I needed to get the information out of their brains and put it on paper so that young kid that comes along can actually go out and figure out where this thing is. Because you're David Thor. Oh, yeah, somewhere underneath this bush. That's not good enough. You know? But the challenge, this is what the challenge is right now, is that to not do the rate increases this year as an example. We simply do less capital projects. But I don't know when that ship will then turn around. Because without the rate increases, we don't even have the option for some of the SRF funding because they're rate guaranteed loans. And unfortunately, you know, I took over for Lee, and I haven't even been doing this job 2 years yet. August of 2011, I took over and began to kind of realize the situation we're in, and really we're only 1 year into it. And I got my consultant going as fast as I could, and we're kicking every door in and digging up under every rock. But there's a period of time it takes me to find alternative financing, and I just can't stop the ship in the meantime. That's what's really hard. You know, if we go another 10 years without building a tank on Northeast 71st Street, is that going to kill us? You know, we burn a house down. You know, if we don't put the pump station in Lakewood Hills, what will happen? We'll keep that stupid pump station limping along as long as we can. You know, but I guarantee you there's nothing in this town I can't keep running. It's just at some point, you spend all your time fixing stuff that you should have replaced 50 years ago. I mean, that pump station in Lakewood Hills had been replaced in the 70s.
Been calling David.
So, Tim, here's a question for you, and perhaps Derek, if he was here. know, and Fred mentioned something to me during a break, which, you know, really hit home was, you know, for generations, the reserves haven't been built up and things have not really been replaced. It's been more of an ongoing kind of just maintain. And now we're stuck with trying to do catch up. And because of that, we're putting in some dramatic increases over a short period of time. Unfortunately, during an economic downturn in a large part of our community and across the state, and, you know, so it's kind of, a lot of things are happening at the same time, and people's pocketbook is being challenged with this rate increase, other increases, and, you know, I don't look at this rate increase in isolation. I look at it as one of many increases that build up. So maybe if you just look at this one in isolation, it's not all that much, but when you look at this, you look at that fee increase, you look at what's happening at the state, I mean, it all adds up. So this is just one of many different things that are going on. But my question is there a way of lessening that dramatic increase over time through other funding sources? Now, we mentioned GO bonds, and I was looking at your project list, and I'm wondering, is setting up another urban renewal district on the north side to encompass areas with these projects viable? Because as you know, if we did do that, perhaps over time, once we freeze the property tax rate and everything else goes into urban renewal, there might be some additional funding available through urban renewal, similar to what you just mentioned about a lot of the projects in South Beach being funded by urban renewal. So I'm just wondering, if you're looking at things long-term, and urban renewal districts can last 20 years or longer, is it possible that we should start thinking about setting up an urban renewal district to encompass a lot of these projects that may not be absolutely necessary right now, but are going to be needed over time as a component of overall funding, which could perhaps lessen the impact in your rate increases and maybe have that balance going on? Because that is one way of getting property tax to fund these projects without increasing property tax rates. It does mean we get less in the general fund, and the other taxing districts have to agree to it. But if we could do that, I'm wondering if urban renewal could be a viable option to help you with your infrastructure projects.
Absolutely is. I mean, so look at the projects in South Beach urban renewal alone has done in the last 3 years.
So
the challenge with urban renewal is those projects, if I'm not mistaken, are generally related to economic development.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is there some projects, and I'm not saying everything, but I'm wondering if it's kind of a balancing act. You said there's some projects which can go into maybe a GO bond measure. There's some that are probably more appropriate for water rate and sewer rate increases. And I'm wondering, is there another set that might be appropriate for urban renewal? So we're trying to get a constant sustainable revenue increase to pay for projects through different sources with less impacts on different user groups based on whatever funding source we're using.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. This is what I'm asking. This is not my expertise at all. I learn this as I go, literally thrown into the deep end. I would love to, over the course of this year, and I can't even believe I'm going to say this, develop a committee, a task force, to help me figure out over the next 10 years, how to do this, where to pursue, where to spend our efforts. I don't have the time. I don't have the expertise. And I think it's a great idea.
Well, I'm on the council for another year and a half. I'll offer my volunteer services until the end of my term in a year and a half when I'll be moving on, so I can help you for the next year and a half.
Well, think about it this way. You're piling all this stuff together.
I will do it.
You know, you have
that's I will do it. I will help.
You know, low interest loans, you have whatever grants we can acquire, you have rate increases, you have a GO bond. You add all those things together and collectively they get you there. The problem is, how do I start out? Starting out right now, I have desperate needs immediately.
Yeah.
How do we get through the short term?
Right.
And maybe what we say, and this is actually, still, I really do believe we need to implement this 15% rate increase this year, but maybe we do that with a commitment to say, we're not planning on raising rates next year, unless we come up with a funding scenario to mitigate the rate increases
that's
that are necessary.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So that people, they see the light at the end of the tunnel without feeling like their rates are going to literally double in the next 5 years. But I get a little assistance to be able to figure out, okay, I know that Derek is beginning the process of trying to initiate a Northside Urban Renewal District. Man, that could take 3 years to develop.
It's okay.
You know, the GO bonds, you know, what if they don't pass it? What happens then? Our whole capital improvement plan is flushed down the toilet. We need to have a backup plan. Okay, what's our next funding source backup plan? You know, it's got to be bigger. That's why I brought these guys on here. I don't know what I'm doing, honestly.
But Tim, you're right. It does take a few years to put in a renewal and perhaps yield miles. What I'm saying is a lot of your initial rate increases this year and next year are premised on long-term viability.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is maybe we make, perhaps we need to not say we need these many rate increases over 5 or 6 years, but we need to say we need to do a rate increase next year, whatever that amount is, with a commitment, like you said, to look at alternative sources that could help fund some of these projects through different avenues more appropriate. I think actually there's some projects here that probably are more appropriate for urban renewal funding than rate and water than rate increases. Similar with geobonds.
I would plump the Northeast Tank in there.
No, what I'm saying is that's something we didn't do last year. That's something I was encouraging at our last council meeting when I spoke with you after the meeting. And I think we as a council and the budget committee perhaps tonight need to weigh in on, we need to look at the future with those options on the table rather than trying to make decisions right now on with limited options in front of us.
I agree with that.
Well said.
We got to make something happen this year.
Well, I'm talking about this year with the eye to looking at the future. So if we do a rate increase this year, and I'm not saying we should or shouldn't, but whatever that is, we need to, at this meeting or perhaps at the next budget committee meeting, the next council meeting, explore the idea of getting a group together to look at alternative options to fund these projects through different avenues for long-term sustainability. And it could be either trying to get the discussion going on an urban renewal district, trying to put together some projects that might go out for a geo bond at some point. Part of your education across the community might be with an eye towards that. I mean, there's a lot of pieces we need to put together. I just am very uncomfortable just raising rates because we can do it. I think, to me, there's more responsibility to get more direct input either through voters or through the community before we make those kind of decisions. And I know we've tried, but I think we have more work to do.
We have a lot of need for some good PR, Patrick.
So I agree with you, David. I think it needs to be a two-pronged approach, and I do favor the urban renewal. But I also think you need to look within the budget to see if there's other funds that we can dedicate toward public works for his needs there. And the reason I say that is because there's just a serious amount of questions in this budget that I've been trying to go through, budget one and budget two, trying to figure out things. And the public is looking at the city as all these, I'm just gonna say it, frivolous expenses that maybe it's not necessary. They're getting hit in their pocketbook with this increase, and yet the city is going and doing things. And you know, you really can't justify that when you have such a pressing need. So I am in total favor of the urban renewal and also looking real hard at some of these other
questions. You have some suggestions.
I have suggestions? I've got 3 pages of questions and stuff.
Let's start with a page.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get into that, there's two ways you can approach this. I think some of us, I'm sure the rest of you, have some ideas where in the general fund and the other funds, we could back off a little bit, making monies available to the public works, because I think we support what Tim's doing. But we can sit here and pick out each item and say, well, this one's too high and that one's too low. Or we could approach it on a higher level and say, okay, let's have hit every department up for 2% or 3% or something like that, which I'm sure they could all live with. And if you want, we can sit here, and I'm happy to go through a couple hundred items here. I mean, I'd start with the first line item on the city council budget. Why are we paying $20,000 for memberships? Why is the city manager got $6,500 in his budget for clothing? You know, and we can go down every one of those, but it'll take a long time.
So schedule something. I'm wondering if maybe we shouldn't have a subcommittee to do something like this. We only got, one more meeting?
No, we'll have. We don't know. Maybe two.
After we've done here tonight, I go home and I look at this. I look at this, and every free time I get, and I just have pages and pages of questions. A lot of it is just trying to understand. And some is like, what is this for? I mean, the city's primary responsibility is water and sewer and streets and fire and police protection. and I literally have only gotten to the first part of this budget. I haven't got to the housing fund. I haven't got to these other things yet, because this is absorbing so much of my time. And when I hear so much critical, I mean, we're talking crisis. It's crisis mode.
David?
It is. I mean, you heard him. He does not have the revenue to support
Let's
the committee.
Let's go over to David and see what his feedback is on this.
This won't be hugely popular. And the general fund has many areas, 5,000 to 10,000. Please remember this. Setting aside a special $300,000 for a match for the airport, we give $900,000 to Parks and Rec and the airport, and we got this $327,000 tax on Tim right now. That's $1.2 million. And I'd ask you to set aside for a moment a 20,000 item or a 5,000 item and beat yourself up over stuff that most department heads could justify. And yeah, maybe you take a 2 or 3% hit on the discretionary part of the general fund, and maybe you got $100,000. You haven't even got started yet. There's huge subsidies totaling millions of dollars for the airport and Parks and Rec. Are either one of those as important as water and sewer? We'd probably say no. I've heard no discussion about anything to do with those two funds or with the taxing. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars that go to legitimate things that we're not asking questions about, and we're already going to, well, let's take a look at this individual expense account. I can tell you, you don't get there from here. It's not that it can be 1,200 rather than 1,500, and you can spend the next 300 hours trying to find the money, or you can start addressing what we're going to have to get to sooner or later anyhow, is the subsidy of other funds. Because Ralph is right, you can take money from the general fund. You set up a Northside Urban Renewal Agency, and the general fund essentially is frozen. It's frozen. It's not going anywhere. And then what are you going to spend?
That portion of the property tax in that area is frozen. If there's still other areas of town that is going up.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, right. But it's not frozen.
I mean, we went from $4.5 or $6 million in property taxes, and when the north side closed down, we went to 5.3 because it was unfrozen. It had gone away.
Sure.
So you're talking about orders of magnitude here, and they're far beyond $100 or $1,000 items.
And David, I was going to get to the airport subsidy when we got to the airport fund. Believe me, I was going to bring that up. So just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think
just
we got
there
close.
Yet.
I was going to find $1 million in there right now.
What? What is that? What'd you say, Ralph?
I said I think if we added all those little $5,000 items up, we'd be pushing $1 million more.
And I hope when you do that, that you get the department head who put it in there in the first place and ask them to justify it. And I think it would be a little more difficult.
Yes, I realize that. Some of those have a good reason.
I don't know that you're going to find $205,000 items, but any way you can do it, I'm just saying, focus on what might make an immediate difference right away, too.
Well, I guess you're going to have to weigh the immediate difference versus the responsibility of the city.
But well, I mean, even if we get it there, I don't think we're going to get it to zero, but 1%, and 1% of what Tim needs is less than $100,000, you know, for this year. And anytime we get down 1%, 2%, and we sort of made 4% already tonight, you know. Everybody's talking about a 15% increase. When you do the math, it comes out to closer to 11. It's too bad they don't put that on the front page of the News Times on Wednesday.
Right. So, Chairman Smith, you asked for recommendations, and I mean, we've only got 15 more minutes right before our meeting's done, and then we go to our next one. So, I mean, if we could put together a subcommittee to look at that and break back
well,
some recommendations. I mean, I'm more
we
than
need
welcome
two
to
things, correctly. We need somebody to address the use of our subsidies, those funds, right? Okay. And we need someone to address line item review to see if we can collect X number of dollars. David, would you be willing to take a look at the subsidies and bring back a report to us to begin with next week?
Well, we're meeting, it's 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks, yeah.
Well, can I just say a couple
yeah.
things to him? So, what I'm hearing is this. When I brought up the idea of river renewal, I was looking at long-term sustainability of dealing with the projects Tim has on his list. That might minimize the impact on water and sewer rates over time. What we're talking about now, I guess, Ralph and Patricia, is you want to see where can we pull out money right now to help with the water and sewer to actually decrease the amount of the water sewer rates for this next fiscal year.
Just, yeah.
Okay.
As a buffer.
Right. Well, I can look at the, so there are, if we look, here's, so Robin, so you know what we're talking about. If we go to the page.
Parks and Recreation Subsidy.
And the airport. Those are the.
Those are the. Water.
I kind of feel like I want to wait and hear it. I want to wait for those funds to be up for discussion at the Budget Committee group to talk about this. Not really much I can do right now. I'm not really well versed in the specifics of those subsidies as they relate to what's needed in those different funds. I mean, for FEMA we need to be here, and we need the folks from the airport to speak to that. And I understand the concept, and I'm not saying it's not something to look into. I'm just not ready to start drilling down like that. I was more focused on setting up a group after this Budget Committee process to look into the future for urban renewal options, geo-bond options. I will leave it up to some other folks to drill down to specifics. But perhaps Ralph and Patricia, you guys have done more work on this.
And I got to tell you, I mean, I don't have all the information either. And one of the requests I gave Chairman Smith is, I need to see some organic documents here. I'd like to see what staff department heads have given to finance. I think there's a lot more detail in that. Even in the information that I got in this, it's still kind of vague. So there's so many questions that a lot of that can be alleviated if I have other documents. Because right now I'm going back and forth. Actually, right now this is the one I'm looking at, not the one that I was handed out. And so even from this, I have a lot of questions. So
would you
that would really
Ralph be willing just for the information item of it to see if we can come up with $1 million. Let's see, let's put your pencil where the words are and see if we can actually go through the budget. We're not going to do it, let's say.
Sure.
But if you come with a suggestion, let's take these things and put it into wastewater. Because we'd like to hear from this what you're doing. Because David is correct, he needs to wait on subsidies until we hear from Parks and Airport.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait on this. You guys can put your pencils to it. Anybody else want to be on that group with them and just jump in there with them? And that's
yes,
fine.
Mark.
All right, Mark. Okay.
David.
Okay, David wants to be
good.
In on it.
Good.
And what we'll do is we'll get together right after before we decide when we're going to meet, et cetera, and do it. That sounds like a very positive idea. That doesn't mean that we're going to cut $1 million out of the budget in 5 minutes.
Since we got people committing to do extra work, which I like, who would be interested on this budget committee, not the council members, but the other folks, to be part of a subgroup after this budget process is over to start looking at the other options like urban renewal and geo bonds as they relate to this capital improvement plan for the future? With working with Tim after this process is over, and I'm not talking about this budget document, but looking into the future. Patricia, you said you were interested.
No, I don't want to be on his committee.
That's the one I'm talking
about.
The subgroup with Tim.
Just don't get me in another direction, because I really want to focus on water and sewer.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about the urban renewal and the geo bonds for this capital improvement plan. I think you raised your hand about 20 minutes ago.
I did.
Okay. Who else besides Patricia?
I don't want to be.
David wants to be on.
Who else?
I would.
Brad. Well, yeah, Laura, I mean, I'm talking about non-council.
Oh, non-council. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, Fred and Patricia are interested. And then at the next council meeting on Monday, perhaps we can get some of the council members, like Laura and others, we can get a group together at the next. Maybe we could have that as maybe a discussion item at our next council meeting, knowing that Fred and Patricia want to participate, and maybe start having some direction for beyond the budget committee, looking into the future to help maybe minimize the dramatic rate of these water and sewer rate increases with other alternative options, including Tim on the committee and David.
Well, and the other thing, this is an ongoing process. I mean, I don't think my term ends now until 2015, so I mean.
But this would be between budget committee meetings, so wouldn't it be waiting
that,
until next year?
But this still keeps going on and on.
But we can start the discussion.
The more you keep it on the forefront in front of everybody's face, the less likely they're going to forget.
That's why the subgroup would be beneficial between budget committee meetings.
Do you think that there should be a subgroup eventually formed purely for PR and education?
I think that group will probably do that.
You know, maybe that could be a component of that subgroup to have that.
We're not going to get anywhere if we don't sell this.
Yeah, you
I think Laura's interested in that group, so we'll definitely mark her.
You got to sell it to the public. let's look at our next meeting.
Yeah,
I think Janet has something.
Wait a minute. Let's look for our next meeting for Patricia and Ralph and Mark and David Marshall to come up with a shopping list of items we can cut from the budget and transfer over to the wherever we want to make sure we can transfer to. Let's see what we can do, just for the heck of it. David doesn't say that is a very good thing to do, but let's just do it.
Well, please remember, I agree with Patricia, this is something that should work for a very long time. However, and this is somewhat selfish, I think, for 6 weeks, this by Oregon statute, this budget is required to be done. And wholesale changes now, I mean, Tim said it, and there's several people in the city who say it, he's exhausted. I'm exhausted. I really resist a wholesale change to this budget now. There's ways of getting money to water and sewer and everything, but to eviscerate the budget and start all over again, frankly, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I like just a little hesitation here for a minute to say, everything we do changes everything, and you don't change the general fund without changing all the other funds, because they're all impacted by a $100 change in the general fund. And I think you know me well enough, so I'll do whatever necessary. 6 weeks is not very long to put together a budget that scarcely resembles this. Frankly, I don't know how I would do it, so let's use a little caution as we're going through this, because if we're going to try and find $1 million in the general fund, all other 15 funds are going to be affected. And they're going to be affected dramatically. And it's not an easy thing. And I don't think Tim is looking for an immediate answer to solve his problems by June 30th.
No, David, we as I said before, it might be just a shopping list that we could say in 2014, gives us some consideration. These are the things we think are excessive in the budget. And these are things that need to go away in the next budget. It doesn't mean we're going to take them away in this year's budget. That may not be the case if we want to do that. It may be that you have a list of these things and you say that the budget committee thinks these things are excessive and talk to the department people about their need. Volunteers are wonderful, but we don't need to spend $8,000 on a dinner for them. Just send them a note in the mail. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you guys, but at least it's something that we are doing to show some concern for this issue. Although Tim is correct, he doesn't need any blood right now. He can take that apparatus away. He doesn't need infusion, Tim.
There's two other funds that I manage, facilities and park maintenance. And I thought maybe you want to talk about it before you're up.
All right, let's do it.
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
You'll do it.
Did you ever, Janet had a question.
We're going to go to Tim.
Oh,
right.
Okay. All right.
Facilities and park maintenance, I actually don't know where facilities used to land, but in July of last year, facilities and park maintenance were combined into one division. If you take a look at fiscal year 13 budget, it's very underfunded for what their actual operations were. So in fiscal year 14, those two budgets were really separated, so they're running independently because they don't work together. One group takes care of the buildings, the other one really maintains the parks. And so those two budgets are now standalone. Included in each of those, you'll see facilities capital projects, parks capital projects, follows the same premise that capital projects does. The purpose of that is this. We have 11 large commercial buildings that we maintain in the city and no fund for replacing roofs, boilers, whatever. And so we've kind of made a laundry list of things that needed to take place that we could identify over the next 2 years and figured out what money was available and pulled it away for facilities. That goes to replace a boiler, I think, Performing Arts Center or a roof over one of the park buildings, things like that. So that's what that was formed for. Likewise, the parks capital project, we have parks that are sort of falling down because there's no money set aside for large repairs. So there's a wall over by the ball field and the playground equipment in Navy Beach is rotted away and really needs to be removed, that kind of thing. So if you look into those, the problem with the budget book is it doesn't have the detail that I do, because when we put money away, we say, this is what this project is and this is how much it's gonna cost, and all you see is the number. But I have that level of detail if necessary. So those are the two funds at this point. We're not changing any staffing in either one of those two departments. We have 2.5 people that maintain all the park facilities and all the grounds for all the buildings in the entire city. And we have 2 facilities people who maintain all the buildings.
I noticed you have quite an increase from last year in your facilities maintenance budget.
Did you take a look at our actual expenditures in fiscal year 13? Just I don't know if they had that information, but the reason that's increased so much is because the budget was so woefully underfunded last year. You couldn't, no, I think, for example, in fuel, there was $5,000 in fuel. They put $5,000 in fuel in that division in a month. Mm-hmm. And so it's tough to, I mean, it wasn't even feasible to operate within that parameter. And then we had some issues that occurred this year, the pool failure. I came out of facilities and park maintenance. That was $37,000, you know. That's the hard part about it. When you have an operating fund like that, and that's fundamentally what we did within water and wastewater over the last few years. 5 years ago, a water project was built to water operations. It was built to water plants, water treatment plants. If you had a water project, your project overruns $100,000. You just torpedoed your operating fund by $100,000 instantly. Well, now translate that to facilities and park maintenance. I have a building and the roof literally caves in on City Hall. Where does that get charged to? It gets charged to my facilities operating budget. That's how it had been set up. They can't sustain that. They can't sustain that kind of infrastructure replacement within an operating budget. So it was separated out and placed into a facilities capital projects. Put some money in there. We've identified some critical projects that are necessary. We go and fix the boiler that's ready to blow. We fix the roof that's ready to blow. And hopefully have some balance in there so when something happens that we're not expecting, we can react to it without damaging somebody's operating budget, so they can still pay for the fuel, they can still pay for payroll, they can still pay for equipment. You know, that's what we try to separate the two out. That's why.
Can this be something that could come out of contingency to fund that?
Well, normally not. I mean, what Tim is saying is the budget's been wholly inadequate, and the operating budget should be built large enough to handle all of that. Contingent to something completely unplanned, like the collapsing roof. And as you're going to hear probably on the 30th, our contingencies are not at all close to the city mandated requirements for it. And Tim touched upon that briefly. And we'll just talk more about that in 2 weeks, but contingency is going to be a real issue. But you try not to use that contingency as something that's completely unanticipated.
Hey, David, a real quick question on contingencies. There's one bond fund in there that's got almost $500,000 in contingency.
It's a requirement to have a year set aside.
Yeah. Is that what it's in?
And okay. Even if it weren't, that money is not touchable.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's a requirement for that particular bond.
Tim, on all the facilities that the city has, and you guys have to maintain, do you have a 20, 30-year facility repair maintenance plan?
I would like to get there. We really looked at just what the immediate needs are. I want to run the group for 9 months. But it's necessary to really do an assessment of each particular building and say, okay, I know that this particular building roof was put on in 1996. I know that roof should last 25 years or 40 years or whatever. This is how much that will cost. That number will blow your doors off if you see it. I mean, we have a lot of commercial facilities here. And it has not been, you know, starting to try and manage it like you would a capital plan where I can look out 20 years and you say, okay, this is what you really need to have each year to run this many buildings, or you get rid of the buildings.
Procedural question.
One or the other.
Yeah. To finish.
Peggy, I'll get together with you on the agenda for the next meeting, which will be on the 30th. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we'll see if we can't hustle through what we're doing. This meeting is adjourned.
Mr. Chair, before we adjourn, I need to ask a question about the next council meeting. Tim, you were recommending to come back to the council on Monday with a recommendation for rate increases. In light of tonight's meeting, are we going to defer that to the meeting afterwards so we can give this budget committee a chance to give the council more input? That would be my recommendation. So that's why I wanted to bring this up.
Right.
I want to get the council agenda, at least from your perspective, determined. Do you want to still come back to us on Monday, or do you want to defer
this? Well, let me do this. You don't have to take any action. I have the resolutions written, and there are some changes within the resolution that applies to deposits and some other things. and it's another opportunity for the public to hear what the proposal okay. is. And we just say, here's what we got, stew on it for a couple weeks, and then we come back again,
okay.
and then you can make a decision.
I just wanted to get that clarified. Okay, thanks.
That's fine.
Tim, you did a good job.
I forgot.